Hey, we're all looking to save, especially on medical bills, but where do you start? Now, unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings, well, it can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance, and they flag errors like overbilling or wrong codes and fraud. And you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, saving starts with knowing where to look. Go to their website. It's healthlock.com today before you see any other healthcare provider. You know, we're so fortunate in this country to have a military that is 100% volunteer. That's why Pure Talk proudly supports America's Warrior Partnership and their mission to prevent veteran suicide. Now, you can help this great cause simply by choosing a wireless company that shares your values. You can make the switch, the same service, cell towers, 5G network as the big carriers, and the best 5G network, $20 a month. Just go to puretalk.com/Sean, S-E-A-N, make the switch. puretalk.com/Sean for superior cell phone service and helping a vet in need. Are you being influenced? Well, if you watched a blockbuster film in the last decade, well, then there's a chance it has been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Now, here's the reality. The CCP may be running the largest influence campaign in history. Now, in Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, well, investigative reporter Tiffany Meyer reveals how the CCP exerts control over some major studios. Don't miss the most important documentary about Hollywood yet. And for a limited time, you can watch the first 10 minutes for free when you go to the website HollywoodTakeover.com/Sean, S-E-A-N.
Coming up next, our final news roundup and information overload hour.
All right, news roundup, information overload hour. We'll get to your calls this half hour. Toll free, it's 800-941-SEAN. So Joe Biden meeting with the Prime Minister of Japan today, holding a joint presser. And in spite of the horrific economic inflation news that came out yet again today, Joe Biden is living in la-la land. No wonder why poor David Axelrod can't handle it anymore and thinks that it's the dumbest political move he's ever seen. And that is Joe Biden telling people something that they all know is not true. He's been blasting Biden's attempts to tout a strong U.S. economy. And he says it drives him crazy when he does it, because everybody knows it's not true. We're living in reality. He's living in an alternate universe. Listen.
Well, I do stand by my prediction that before the year is out, there'll be a rate cut. This may delay it a month or so. I'm not sure of that. We don't know what the Fed is going to do for certain. But look, we have dramatically reduced inflation from 9% down to close to 3%. We're in a situation where we're better situated than we were when we took office, where inflation was skyrocketing. And we have a plan to deal with it, whereas the opposition, my opposition, talks about two things. They just want to cut taxes for the wealthy and raise taxes on other people. And so I think they have no plan. Our plan is one I think is still sustainable.
That's just a big lie. Cut taxes for the wealthy, eliminate Social Security, take away Medicare. You know, all the lies that we always get in pretty much every election year. This now is Biden's inflation numbers. Now the third month in a row, year over year, we are up a whopping 3.5% in terms of the consumer price index or consumer prices. That means, yeah, from a year ago, you're paying another 3.5% on top of the 39% increase that we've experienced over the last 4 years. So what he's saying is just outright lying. So the numbers have been rising for the third month in a row, and maybe somebody ought to tell Joey that, yeah, the next opportunity would be June to see a rate cut from the Fed. And I don't think that's going to happen. That would only then leave September in terms of a possible rate cut before the presidential election in 2024. But most economists, and we've been quoting Jamie Dimon quite a bit on this program, they are saying that it looks like things are not getting better. They expect interest rates will go up. Inflation already has gone up. It is another month of hot price gains, higher than, quote, expected. So you got inflation back up, you know, month after month, year over year, and energy prices simultaneously are surging. That's not good for the American consumer. The Dow took a tumble upon the news that, in fact, it came in higher in terms of the numbers that came out today, inflation rising 3.5% higher than last year. They took a pretty big hit right out of the gate when the stock market opened today. Not that that is the most important barometer to me, because for many people it doesn't even mean a thing. And even the big job numbers that they were you know, heralding last week, now that we actually do a deeper dive into it, Zero Hedge has done it, Axios has done it, we have done it. And what do we learn? Most of the jobs ended up being part-time and for illegal immigrants. Whoopsie-daisy, not American citizens. Anyway, so there's that huge catch in their, quote, jobs report, which I inevitably will be revised downward anyway, because we've proven that point again and again and again. And this idea that, well, their plan is to give tax cuts to the rich and tax poor people. No, the people that have been impacted the most by Joe's economic policies have been poor and middle class Americans. Rich people now are just scared to death that things are getting so bad they may one day have to take a pass instead of moving to a low tax states like Tennessee, Florida, Texas, and et cetera. Now they're getting second passports, according to CNBC.com. Anyway, E.J. Antoni is with us, a public finance economist at the Heritage Foundation. Sir, great to have you back. Thank you for joining us. And, you know, is there anything I'm getting wrong here in my analysis?
Sean, this is absolutely spot on. I think you're right. And I just want to emphasize, as a monetary scientist, how incredibly, not just frustrating it is to listen to Biden pressure the Fed into trying to cut rates when we still have inflation much too high. But I mean, this is absolutely appalling. How dare he try to do that?
I mean, he's just flat out lying to us. I mean, listen, I feel, and it's just my gut, just my instinct, I think the stock market's headed for a major correction. I can't predict. You can never time the market. If you try to do it, it's never going to work. I understand that, but I've never had a strong appetite for the stock market. I think the American people often are the last to know what the trends really are. I think the people on the ground tend to have a big advantage. Maybe that's just the suspicious part of me. I've always believed more in bricks and mortar as a better investment, at least for my personal peace of mind. However, recently I have taken all of my retirement accounts, whatever I have, and I have moved every penny of it out of the stock market and put them in 1 or 2 year treasuries that are yielding, what, 5.1 or 2%. And I've, you know, my close friends that ask me, I tell them what to do. I don't tell my audience what to do. I tell them what I'm doing. They have to make their own decisions and talk to their own advisors. But that's for me. I'll take 5% every day rather than risk it, you know, major hit at the stock market or a third percent, you know, a 33% drop or worse.
Well, Sean, one of the big things we have to remember whenever we're talking about investing in the stock market, because it is so volatile, it's a roller coaster. And who gets hurt when they ride a roller coaster? The people who try to get off in the middle. And that's why what you're talking about, when the little guy tries to time it, he typically times it wrong and ends up really losing a lot of money and really getting hurt on that roller coaster ride. So if you're going to be in the market, you got to be in it for the long haul. Otherwise, you're always going to end up making that mistake, or at least chances are you're going to end up making that mistake. But, you know, look, I hear you on wanting this flight to safety. A lot of people are moving into treasuries. A lot of people are moving into gold, which has been setting record highs almost on a daily basis recently. And it all goes back to the fact that there is not a lot of confidence in this economy, because there's not a lot of confidence in the man at the helm.
Well, I think, and that's the point, and I don't think he's going to change it. Now, he's been talking about the Fed is now, because of rising inflation and consumer price index and wholesale prices, et cetera, every indication is that inflation is hot. You heard the comments of Jamie Dimon, J.P. Morgan Chase, and he's saying inflation he expects to continue to rise and interest rates he expects to continue to rise. Biden had been hoping for a rate cut and a soft landing. There's not many economists that I know that think we're going to get the soft landing or maybe even any rate cuts. Joe seems to think it might be next month, but that won't be decided, correct me if I'm wrong, until June. And if the inflation continues to rise, that will guarantee that no cut is going to occur. Maybe an increase could occur. And then the only other opportunity before the election would be September. Is that correct?
Right, Sean. And in terms of what the Fed should be doing, I mean, look, inflation stalled out at over 3% months ago. It's not as if this is a one-time blip on an otherwise perfect downward trajectory. We have not been trending towards 2%, period. And if you look at the monthly inflation data and you go, again, month by month, and you look at how much prices have been increasing in real time, it was clear that we were never trending towards 2%. So the idea that somehow we could be talking about rate cuts right now, it's absolute nonsense. If anything, rate hikes should still be on the table, again, because we're not getting inflation down.
Well, and that's the only way that it's going to happen. And if they make this the mistake, and past chairs of the Fed have made this mistake, if they go too early in terms of rate cuts, then inflation usually begins to soar even higher than what it's doing right now. But a 3.5% increase from last year this month, and 3.2% increase from last year, year over year, last month. I mean, that's showing us that the economy is not, inflation is not under control, that things are getting worse. The American people understand it. I think that's why David Axelrod is so frustrated, because he knows darn well that the 60% of Americans, and you know them, that are living paycheck to paycheck, and many people having to put bare necessities on credit cards, and people tapping into their pensions, a very, very high rate of and percentages of Americans are doing that. None of this is indicative of an economy that is healing or growing or changing, or inflation is now under control. Just the opposite.
Sean, it's absolutely right. And so much of this can be traced back to failed public policy. Look, when the government is going to spend and rack up these multi-trillion dollar annual deficits, the Treasury is having to increase their auction sizes. In other words, they're having to sell more and more of those Treasury securities at higher and higher rates. They had an auction earlier today for 10-year Treasuries. It was horrific. I mean, absolutely terrible.
By the way, I think it was 4.497%, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it ended up breaking 4.5, actually, by the time they sold the last of them off in the auction. I mean, these are terrible numbers. The cost to service...
It's terrible numbers for the government. It's actually, I'll take 5% in this economic environment every day of the week. That's now a matter of, well, I guess it's a strategy of wealth preservation first, isn't it?
Well, it is, Sean, and that 5% sounds really good at first, but here's the problem. Where is the government getting the money to pay all of the interest on the debt? It's over $1 trillion a year. That money is essentially still being created, which means it's still fueling inflation. And so this is where you can get into that very dangerous debt spiral, where the government is printing money to pay for the money that it previously printed and borrowed on. And so the fact that we're still paying more and more and more every day to service the debt means that we're going to continue to have hotter and hotter inflation. In other words, the money you get repaid for letting the Treasury borrow that money, the money you get repaid is going to be worth less maybe than what you actually originally lent them.
All right, quick break. More on the economy with EJ and Tony, who is with us. 800-941-SEAN is our number. We'll get to your calls, your comments coming up straight ahead as we continue. We continue with EJ and Tony talking about the horrific inflation numbers that came out today, up 3.5% year over year from last year, following last month's 3.2% year over year increase. Okay, this is your world. You live in this economic information world where you're being inundated with data every second, every minute, every hour of every day. Okay, let's talk to the average person in this audience that is not immersed in that world, but yet wants to navigate through these tough economic times. What do you suggest that they do? For example, do you think I made the right choice pulling my money out of my retirement accounts, the part of that money that was in the stock market, expecting that a correction is inevitable, and putting it in 1 or 2 year treasuries, 5.1 or 2%. Was that the right move? What do you tell people that are struggling to make ends meet on a monthly basis? The only two things I can think of is spending less and also bringing in more income somehow, some way. And I think most people are overworked at this point. I'm not sure if that's a possibility for many people.
Sean, you're right. I think that's a very good formula. You need to get your expenses down and you need to bring in more income because you are being taxed more. That's what inflation is. It is a hidden tax. This is the equivalent of the government increasing taxes annually by $1 trillion or more. That's what's happening with these high inflation rates. And so how do people get by in that circumstance? Like you said, you need to essentially cut back your expenses because the government's going to spend for you, basically, and you need to increase your income. From an investment standpoint, I think you need to let history be your guide. You need to look back at periods like the late 1970s, even the early 1980s, when you had stagnant economic growth, but also very fast price increases. And you need to see, okay, what did best during those times? Because chances are it's what's going to do best today.
Well, let me ask you, so are you, I'm thinking more and more as I read every day that stagflation is a reality. Do you believe that? And can you quickly explain it to the audience?
I do think it's a reality, and in a nutshell, what it is it's the combination of these continuously high rates of inflation. Prices keep going up and up with economic growth getting lower and lower. And so the government, as that continues to grow, the private sector continues to shrink. It's a very deadly economic formula.
One that appears to be headed our way, doesn't it? That's sad. Anyway, EJ and Tony, we always appreciate you being with us, my friend. 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. I will show this tonight on Hannity. If you missed this, it's a pretty incredible moment. So President Trump is in my old stomping grounds from the early to mid-90s, which was Atlanta, before I went up from Atlanta to start on Fox News when it first went on the air. I lived in Roswell, Georgia, but I loved Atlanta, and great city, great people. And anyway, so while the president was there, although I would have told them to stop at the Varsity. Now, my team laughs because every single city and town that I go to, I have a place that I like to go to eat. What do you have? What do you have? What do you have? And I'm not saying that it's the healthiest food at the Varsity, but their chili dogs, their onion rings are just beyond. If I land anywhere near the Varsity in Atlanta, I am going straight to the Varsity. Linda, have you ever been to the Varsity with us?
I actually
haven't.
We're
on the road?
Where's that?
Yeah, but you're never any fun whenever we go out to eat because you're like, no, I'll wait in the car. No.
First of all,
I'm good. I have my disgusting puke green shake.
You guys eat crap.
It's not crap. It's delicious.
You do eat crap. Nothing against, only on special occasions
when I'm like visiting friends in Atlanta. It is not crap. It is delicious.
All right. Let me retract that statement because I don't want to make anybody think that I think it's crap. When I say crap, I mean like I can't eat the fat food.
Stop backtracking. You think it's crap.
I think it's crap for my body. That's correct.
Okay. And you drink these disgusting puke green and putrid orange shakes that are repulsive.
I switched a little bit. I'm drinking what is it called? Chobani protein drinks. So they're a little bit less gross. I love 20 grams of protein a bottle.
I take my eating very seriously. I'm mostly keto friendly, very high in protein, but occasionally I like to splurge. And if I'm passing the Varsity,
And
I do like Chick-fil-A.
I love Chick-fil-A. It's the only fast food that I eat, but I don't eat it that much. But the kids love it. And I love that Trump was there. I love it.
I can't believe that you actually relent and let poor Liam have some real chicken and french fries.
Well, you know why? Because I go in, they give you like the little pamphlets in my local one. About five people from my church work at our local one. You know, you go in, how you doing today? You know, all the good things.
Nice. But I can't believe it. They still fry some of their food. I hate to tell you. It's not air-fried chicken, and it's not air-fried chicken nuggets like you make at home and air-fried french fries like you make at home.
But it tastes good.
Yeah. I'm the one that turned Liam on to the real world. And Liam, you know, he loves the fact that I turned him on to McDonald's french fries.
He does indeed
great.
Love those fries. I will have to admit. He loves all of the fries. I know.
And you once swore to me, no, he really loves my air-fried french fries better.
He does.
Well, He'll take
it's
what
not
he
one
can
over
get.
The other.
Oh, yes, it is, because he told me on this radio program that he prefers McDonald's fries over your fries.
No, that's not true.
No, fake news. It is 100% true.
It's not.
Anyway, President Trump was in Atlanta, stopped by Chick-fil-A, and predominantly African-American crowd, and they loved Donald Trump. He was buying shakes and stuff for the crowd. Listen.
You see here? I'm here to meet you, Mr. President.
Thank you very
yes,
much.
Yes, we've also knocked doors for you in the past for your past re-election you bid and when you ran the first time.
Wow.
Yes. I was interning for the GAGOP at that time.
Yeah.
Doing a lot for your tax credit reform bill and everything like that.
Well, we took care of those colleges.
Sure did. Much better than Bobby did, so I was there. This is Clark Atlanta. This is Stoneman. This is Morehouse. This is Morris Brown.
Isn't that great?
So I don't care what the media tells you, Mr. Trump. We support you.
We support you.
Okay, 4 p.m. We've been 4 p.m.
Come here, let me give you a hug.
Please do.
That's really nice. You know, we did. We took care of the black colleges, universities. They're taken care of now, and she understands it. A lot of people don't understand it. Biden did nothing for them, and I did everything.
Anyway, and I thought that was just pretty cool. The president bought stuff for everybody in the restaurant. It was just a great moment.
You know what's great about this moment? Can I just say one thing? I just need to comment on this. First of all, I watched it in real time. You know, he gets to Atlanta, he gets off, you know, his plane, he's talking to the people, he's signing hats, he's doing all the things. Then he gets to Chick-fil-A, gives a quick statement, takes tons of questions from the reporters, answers them, you know, with a fully coherent sentence, you know, all the right punctuations and grammars, and everything's working great, right? It's so nice to hear somebody speak like that when you're used to hearing Biden try to, like, talk for, like, 10 seconds. And then, totally impromptu, he's got, like, you know, this moment with these people, and he's like, hey, you want milkshakes? You want chicken? And they just start talking to him. We love you. This is all nonsense. We think you're awesome. Like, it's not scripted. It's not fake. You know, they love him. And you'll never see this footage on the mainstream media. They're not going to show it because they are scared to death of that.
I'll show that video on Hannity tonight in honor of you. How's that?
That's perfect. It's like a French fry.
I give and I give and I give. All right, Joe in LJ, Georgia, saw this in real time today. Joe, how are you? Glad you called, sir.
Sean, doing great. Great show as always. And I just want to say that I bought some Trump stock. I believe so much in Donald John Trump's that I bought some stock. And I think he's going to be elected. And I think your great radio and television show will contribute to a landslide victory for Donald Trump. And I appreciate all you do for the taxpayer. And let's get Trump elected.
Well, we have just 208 days to go. It's gonna flash right before our eyes, and I'm praying for the future of our country because everything is on the line. That's why Joe Biden is so desperate. Anyway, Joe, we love you, man. Appreciate it. Carl in Texas, the free state of Texas. What's up, Carl? Glad you called, sir.
Hey, Sean. Wanted to talk to you for just a second about term limits. It's always been my understanding that the founding fathers intended to have citizen politicians that came to Washington, served the people that elected them, then they went back to their family and farms. At that point, no amount of time was determined. There weren't term limits. But you surprised me a little bit last week when you said you hadn't previously favored term limits, but now you do.
It's been a number of years since that position evolved into where I am now. I say it's a bad idea, but whose time has come. That's how I say it. And it's a bad idea because I would prefer an informed electorate that would throw these jackasses out when they did a bad job and that the election process would take care of that. Unfortunately, once people get in a position, and this has been my observation over the years, where they're called congressman, senator, governor, etc., it kind of gets to their head. By the way, I've seen it happen to radio and TV hosts, too. So nobody, I guess, is immune from massive egos. And I don't know. And then maybe they went there with the best of intentions, but a lot of them change. Now, if they were only there for 4 or 6 years, maybe they wouldn't be wasting all their time on thinking about their own power struggle and reelection. Maybe they would go and serve the people that they pledged to serve. And then you're right, then go back home and pick up their lives where they left it. I think that might be a better idea.
Right. Yeah, and it might be another way to drain the swamp if they're not. It's easier to drain a swamp that's only a foot deep through term limits than 50 feet deep by somebody that's been there 30, 40, 50 years.
Yeah. No, you raise great points. Carl, we love our friends in Texas, buddy. God bless you, man. God bless Texas. Chris in Maryland, next, Sean Hannity Show. Chris, how are you? Glad you checked in.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, I wanted to be a part of the program.
Hey, what's on your mind?
Yes, sir. I was just going to say that I don't think that we need to be tucking tail and running because of the decision in Arizona. I mean, that's exactly what Trump said. And he said basically to let the states decide. You're going to have some states that are going to be very liberal with this, like New York, and other states are going to be very conservative. So let it be what it is. I mean, why do we got to – I hear a lot of conservatives are they're saying this needs to not stand. That's a ridiculous argument. It's kind of like every time they have a chance to do something with the border, the Chamber of Commerce comes in and puts a kibosh on that. Same deal.
Well, here's what I think Republicans ought to do. And what you're talking about, and we hit on it earlier, is the Arizona Supreme Court ruling that the 160-year-old near total abortion ban is still on the books in the state and it's still enforceable. And a lot of observations of people is, this could be a game changer politically and it would help the Democrats. My advice is very simple. The Republicans have a majority out there in both houses, both chambers. And what they need to do is change the law immediately. They don't have big majorities. And I know there are going to be some Arizona state legislators that maybe feel that it goes against their principle or maybe that their constituents will be angry. And I don't care. That what they need to do is go on offense. And that would be forcing the Democratic Governor Hobbs to sign a bill that says no late term abortions, no abortions based on gender or race, and find a point of viability restriction, be it first trimester or like Dobbs 15 weeks. And that would undermine the narrative that is being set. If it comes down and it's going to be a total ban and total restrictions on abortion on demand, they will lose the House and Donald Trump will be in a big way responsible for losing this, will be very likely to lose that state. It becomes that much harder. Let me just add one thing, and this might surprise a lot of people. I learned this from Arizona Attorney General Brnovich. And, you know, Barry Goldwater's wife started the first Planned Parenthood clinic out in Arizona. And he recalls talking to Barry Goldwater about it. And, you know, this in my view has to be done. Republicans in Arizona, listen very closely to your friend Sean Hannity. Get your Adam Schiff together and get the job done. Pass a bill that is in keeping with the values of the people of your state. This 1864 enforceable law is not in keeping with the sentiment in the people of Arizona. And otherwise, you will be blamed and you will all lose your jobs. And that means all lose a chance to do anything that would be good for the country and for your state. That's my humble, unsolicited advice. Okay? Anyway, appreciate the call. 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. Let's say hi to Greg is in Maryland. Greg, hi. How are you? Glad you called, sir.
Sean Hannity, as you know, you are the great American and our generation's Ronald Reagan.
Well, all right. I think you're overstating it a little bit. You know what I am? I'm a grateful former dishwasher, house painter that gets to do the job I love every day. And it's all because of you. And we work hard at it to do the best job we can do on radio and TV. And I'm grateful. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to get right to it for you today. Number one, obviously everything that's going on, last time I think we spoke about maybe trying to win Maryland, I ended up being inspired and I called David Bossi two times, and I was able to get him on the cell phone, and he confirmed direct from Donald Trump himself that, you know, we're obviously going to fight hard in Maryland, but yes, the climate's tough here. Definitely fighting like crazy for Pennsylvania and Virginia. I've got strong ties in Virginia and close to Pennsylvania, so I'm still kind of optimistic we can get a Hannity town hall, maybe in Pennsylvania, and possibly even get Governor Youngkin involved in Virginia. Let's go for it. Let's win these two states, and let me deal with Maryland. I'll do the yeoman's work of trying to.
Listen, if we pull off Maryland, that would shock me. I think Virginia is a very hard state for Donald Trump to win, especially because of the population growth in Northern Virginia, mostly bureaucrats working for government. They probably don't want Trump. And I would think that, you know, Pennsylvania is always, always, always a hard state for a Republican to win. It just is. Anyway, appreciate the call, my friend. 800-941-SEAN is our number. You know, nowadays, $20 can barely get you a burger and fries. Now, what it will get you is unlimited talk, unlimited text, plenty of 5G data. Now, this is my cell phone company, and that is Pure Talk, a veteran-owned company. You get the same 5G network. You get the same cell towers, the same exact ones as the big carriers, AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, but you get all that for half the cost. The average family saving almost $1,000 a year. Many families save more. You have no contract to sign, no activation fee. And making the switch, it's simple. It is fast. It is easy for the exact same service. You can join the stampede of us that are saving a fortune for the exact same service. And if you do it now, you'll save an additional 50% off your first month. Anyway, it's simple, it's fast and easy to make the switch. Dial #250. Just simply say the keyword save now. #250, keyword save now. And with the money you're saving, well, you'll be able to afford the burger and fries from Pure Talk.
Uncovering evil and defending the truth. You're on the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. Hannity Tonight, set your DVR, 9 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. Senator Ted Cruz, Jim Jordan, Tommy Lahren, Mark Penn, Dr. Ronnie Jackson, Brian Brenberg, and David Asman on the horrific economic news today of Biden and all the news you'll never get from the media mob. Fox News, set your DVR, 9 Eastern. Hannity, we'll see you tonight, back here tomorrow with only 207 days to go till Election Day.